Well, there it is again. That music that means you got more of this stuff to listen to. I don't know how you do it. I don't know if I could listen to me. But this is Fishing Frank, and we're going to do another radio fishing. And we have a very special guest today. And when you look around in Fishing Frank's and you see all the great prices and all the selection of merchandise and stuff, Cal was actually the one who helped me get my first good deals and really kind of put Fishing Frank's on the map as a place to come and get a lot of great tackle at great prices. And it's Cal Krosner. And Cal, welcome to Radio Fishing. I don't even know the name of my own show. Welcome to Radio
Well, thank
Fishing.
You, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here. What are we going to talk about today?
I was thinking you're big into the PGI Fishing Club. And I thought we could talk a little bit about that.
Well, you know, I've been a member of the PGI Fishing Club since 1998 when I first moved down here to Punta Gorda. And I've seen it grow from 100 or so members to now what we have, if you count the families, to over 500 members. And we have a lot of good anglers in the club now. And I owe that to the many guests that we've had, such as yourself and Robert, who've come and talked to the members about various types of fishing, tackle, terminal tackle, what to use and when. And the club has really, really progressed, and it's a great place for people to come and learn about the area, learn about the fishing.
There is only one bad thing about the PGI Fishing Club. It's the best run, best organized. They've got amazing stuff. They use computers and PowerPoint demonstrations, and it's so well run. The only complaint is, the only problem with it is, you got to live in PGI to go there. You know, well, I tell you what, if it wasn't for that, you guys would have 1,000 members.
Yeah, you're probably right. And you do have to be a member of the Punta Gorda Isle Civic Association to belong. That's one of the prerequisites. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the club has come such a long ways. And as you mentioned, now we have PowerPoint presentations, slide presentations, many of the...
And a great newsletter. I mean, really a great newsletter.
Yes, and the... I remember when I published the letter, it was one page black and white, and now it's 16 pages in color with all kinds of information. So that certainly is progress.
I know. You know, I was thinking about doing something like that. You know, yours is so nice, and the PGI Fishing Club is this great, you know, publication once a month and all that. And I got looking at it and says, you know, I can't type anymore. After 4 or 5 years of typing on the website, I did 2 months where I didn't really do much of anything. I took a couple months just to kind of get my chops back and get my brain straightened out. And it was amazing. People were just complaining. I said, you know, I can't type anymore. I did a radio show instead.
Well,
I decided the radio show.
That's probably easier than typing. But the other interesting thing is we have a lot of gal members now, and some of them are really, really good fishermen. That wasn't the case 10 years ago.
Well, let's go back. You've been in the fishing business for how many? When did you start?
I started as merchandise manager for Hedden back in 1952.
That's even before I was born, and we all know how old I am. Oh my God!
In those days, we thought if we had to charge $1.35 for a bait, we could never sell any. So you can see what's happened in the last 50 years.
Well, I can tell you, believe it or not, I believe I'm either the number one or number two Hedden dealer in the state of Florida. I'm pretty sure I'm the number one Hedden dealer in the state of Florida.
Well, and I'm sure your biggest seller is probably the Zero Spook.
Now, were you around, was the Zero Spook being made when you started working for him?
Oh, yes. That's an old-timer, and it was made initially in wood, and then back in
the mid-50s. Did you know Hedden himself?
I knew Jim Hedden, who was James Hedden's father. He was there at the company when I was there. Not too active at that time because he was in the throes of retirement. Mm-hmm. But we at that time were the largest artificial bait manufacturer in the country, and we had several successful baits, some of which are still around, the Zero being one of them.
Now, the Zero Spook, when it, you know, working it and then coming up with the different sizes in 1952 or 55, could you have ever imagined that it would still be one of the top best-selling topwater lures, you know, today?
It's hard to predict, but that bait had been around several years even before I came to Hedden, and
it was one of the first two that they made, wasn't it?
It was one of the first, and they initially it was sold basically in Florida, but when the Bassmasters started to hold their tournaments, it became a very, very popular bait on the Bassmaster circuit, and now you not only sell Zeros in Florida, but you sell them all over the country.
Yeah, I was in Europe. I sold tackle in Europe for 5 or 6 years, and we sold Zero Spooks over there. I mean, they're just everywhere. I mean, there's no denying the number one lure, and everybody else copied it. Mirror Lures got their copies. Every other company has a copy of the Zero Spook, but there is only one that has that original, and I don't know what's different about it, but boy, that thing just works.
It does. It takes a little skill to walk the dog with it, but once you get that cadence down, it's a very, very effective bait. In fact, I fish artificials a lot down here, and the biggest snook I ever caught, which was the third year I was down here, was a 43-incher on a Zero Spook.
Yeah, there it is just that big fish bait. But now, for me, if I'm going to fish big snook, I use the regular full-size spook.
Yes, I did too.
And if I'm looking for numbers, I'll throw the Spook Junior. But if I'm looking for a bigger fish, I want a real Zero Spook. And my own favorite one was the one with the silver glitter all glued to the side of it. I don't know what it is about that. I think it's called a flitter shad or something. But boy, that one, I have caught more big snook on that. And then the standard white with red head.
Well, white with red head is a pretty basic color. And actually, one of the big selling colors in the Zero back in those days was the all clear model.
We still have it. And it's just clear plastic. And why they would hit that, I have no idea. It's just, there's no color to it at all.
Well, they see the motion on top, and what that represents to them, we think it may be mullet, but we're really not sure. Whatever it is, it's a great attractor. Of course, back in those days, there was only one size. The smaller models came along much later.
Was red and white one a color that existed when you started, or did that come later?
Oh, yes. Red and white in every bait was usually the most popular colors. The most popular colors in lures were red and white, yellow, and chartreuse.
I would not have thought chartreuse. The red and white and the yellow, I would have been sure. Mm-hmm. And I would have thought silver black. But chartreuse, I didn't realize they'd been making chartreuse lures that long.
Well, they haven't. Most of the chartreuse lures we made back in those days were special orders. In those days, any distributor, if they ordered 144 baits, we'd paint any color they wanted.
Yeah, my dad had his own bomber.
Yeah, and chartreuse was a favorite color, particularly down Texas way.
I'll be darned, because nowadays, you know, the saying is that if it ain't chartreuse, it ain't no use. You know, but anyway, not only did you do the Hedden and all them, you went on to do many other things.
Well, yes. Hedden was purchased by a conglomerate that also owned Daisy. And
the BB gun people?
Yes. And that was not a successful relationship for Hedden.
Yeah.
BB guns were an item that required really no selling because Daisy had no competition.
Right.
Where fishing tackle, you required some knowledge. And in those days, if you weren't a fisherman, you weren't a very good salesman. All the representatives we had were also excellent fishermen. So that didn't work out too well, and I was recruited by Gladding Corporation, who had several tackle companies, to run their South Bend division and their Glenn L. Evans division and their Horrocks Ibbotson division.
Now, I remember because back when you were running South Bend, they had some of the best tackle. I mean, they were great, and they made a lot of very good stuff. It was inexpensive, good tackle. It was great dollar value stuff. And to this day, I still see a lot of that older South Bend stuff. They still manufacture South Bend rods and reels and stuff like that, but they don't really have the highest end now they've got is the Redbone products.
That's right. Of course, I've been retired now for, 16 years, and at that time, our slogan was, we put the family in fishing, and as you indicated, we made quality tackle at a modest price that everybody could afford. And we also made many, many terminal tackle items. We had a broad line of terminal tackle accessories.
Still do.
That were nicely packaged with all the information the fishermen want to know, the size, the weight, the strength of the swivels, and so forth. We were way ahead of our times in our packaging of terminal tackle.
I remember it, absolutely remember it. But now, I hate to do this to you, but we're in here a little bit. Now, every guest that I have to ask them this same question. If you were going to go fishing, if you were going to leave right now and go fishing, where would you go, what would you use, and what would you expect to catch?
We're talking about Charlotte Harbor.
Charlotte Harbor, freshwater, saltwater, doesn't matter, anything around this area.
If I was going out in Charlotte Harbor, I would take three baits with me. A jig.
Okay.
A gold spoon.
You and my dad agree on that.
and a shallow running jerkbait. The Mirror Lure.
That's 17?
17.
Well, I can tell you the hottest one this year is the Storm Kicking or Twitching Shad. It's one of my best-selling lures. I never remember the name of it. You got to try this one, Cal. I'll get you one before you leave.
Okay, and with those three baits, fishing shallow water or off the bars, you could catch almost anything, and you don't have to be an expert to use them.
So what you would do is come a little north of Pirate Harbor, stay on the outside of the bar, 3 to 5 feet of water, and just work up towards the sandbar.
That's right, and at this time of year, with the very low tides we have, I look for the potholes.
I appreciate it, Cal. Now, what kind of fish? Give me an idea. What do you think you're going to catch there? Right inside the bar, outside the bar. What are you looking
this
for?
This time of year, you're going to get a lot of trout, and an occasional redfish. But they run a little smaller, as you know. This time of year, the hot redfishing is in
the fall,
September and October, when you have the bigger fish. The snook have probably, most of them have probably moved out of the harbor by now and into some warmer water, but there's still an occasional snook along the bar. But doing that with those three lures, you're liable to catch most anything. Jacks.
There you go. It's a lot of fun. Anyway, you want to wish happy holidays to the PGI Fishing Club and family and friends?
Everyone out there, I hope they have a very enjoyable Christmas and a very, very happy New Year.
Well, I got to tell you, I think I'm hearing the music coming up in the background. Yep, there it is. And this is Fishing Frank, and one of my personal heroes, Cal Krosner. He's been around in the business forever. Actually gave me a major boost and a major start to help me be who I am today. So anyway, this is Fishing Frank, Cal Krosner over there. Thanks for joining me, Cal. I appreciate it very much.
Thank you, Frank. It was a lot of fun.
All right. And we will see you next time on Radio Fishin'.